I did not know about Savannah. Is she in the hospital right now?
Mm-hmm.
Which one?
She had her back this morning. She has a broken tibia, femur, two broken ribs, and I think a punctured lung.
If there's one disadvantage to not being on social media, I guess that's it. But I didn't know anything about it. We'll turn back to Daniel chapter 12. I've entitled this message, Found Written in the Book. Found Written in the Book. Now we've reached the 12th chapter of Daniel, and in these first 11 chapters, we've only had 12 sermons. Chapter 9, we devoted two sermons to, but there's been a sermon from each chapter. Daniel, in chapter 1, as a teenager, went into Babylon, carried in. He was made a eunuch, and you'll remember that he refused to eat of the king's dainties and ate pulse and ended up faring better than the other eunuchs. And then in chapter 2, we read where he interpreted that dream Nebuchadnezzar had of the four kingdoms. Chapter 3 is when the three Hebrew children were cast into the fiery furnace because they refused to worship Nebuchadnezzar's God, and the Son of God was with them, and there was not even the smell of smoke on them. And then in chapter 4, we read where Daniel once again interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar was turned into a beast. He went 7 years, and he went through this until he learned that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, that he's in control of everything. Then chapter 5, we read of his son, Belshazzar, and seeing the writing on the wall, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. He was put to death that very night. Chapter 6 is about Daniel in the lion's den and how he was delivered. Chapter 7 is the vision he had of all the history that would take place between that time of Malachi and the coming of Christ, that 400-year period, he was giving everything that would take place. Chapter 8 was about the Antichrist. Chapter 9, his prayer and what Messiah would actually do. Chapter 10, we're given another vision, that vision of Christ and what was going to take place. And chapters 11 and 12 give the events of everything that will take place, ending with the Antichrist. And then we read in chapter 12, verse 1, and Lord willing, I'm going to spend several weeks in this chapter. And at that time shall Michael stand up. Now, this is not the created angel, Michael. There is a created angel named Michael. Michael means who is like God. But this is not Michael. This is the same Michael spoken of in Revelation chapter 12. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's angel, the uncreated angel, who stands for his people. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Don't you want to have the Lord standing for you? I want him to stand and answer for me when my name is called on judgment day. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time, when Michael stands for the people, thy people shall be delivered. They shall be saved, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Now, who does he save? Who does he deliver? Those who are found written in the book. Now, I want to consider tonight the book we read of. I have wanted to bring a message on this for many years, and I don't know why I haven't. But who was saved? Those people who were found. This book had already been written. Who was saved? those people who were found written in the book. Found written in the book. Now, when we think of the book, generally, the first thing we think of is the Bible. The inspired Word of God. I love what Peter said. He said, holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Turn with me for a moment. Keep your finger in Daniel 12 and turn with me to 1 or 2 Peter chapter 1. I love this passage of Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, Peter says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He's talking about that time on the Mount of Transfiguration when the Lord was transfigured before them. And literally, I don't know how this works, but his deity burst through his humanity. The Scripture says his face shined like the sun. And his clothing was white as light. And they witnessed this. Can you imagine seeing this? James, John, and Peter. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from that excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard. We experienced this. We heard the voice of God speaking from heaven, testifying of his Son when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Now look what he says next. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. And you know what that means? That means what we have here is more sure than that which they experienced there. The written word of God. Now you say, how can that be more sure? Because we have it right now. You know what I experienced yesterday? I can't really say I'm all that sure about it. But I am sure of what is written. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. Now listen to this. Me and you have something better than that experience they had on the Mount of Transfiguration. As wonderful as that might be, this is better. I wonder how many of us believe this. This is better. A more sure word of prophecy whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts knowing this first. This is what comes first. That no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. Whenever somebody says, that's your interpretation, remember this Scripture. Whenever somebody says, well, this is what this Scripture means to me, it doesn't matter what it means to you. What's it say? That's all that counts. What's it say? For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, like I said, when we think of the book, the first thing we think of is this book we're looking at right now. But did you know that there was a book written before this book? A literal book? I don't know. But there certainly was a book written before this book that contained this book in it, that had the Lamb's Book of Life in it, that had those two books that we read about in Revelation 20. Everything is contained in this book. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. Now, I don't know if there's a literal book. It could be that this is just given to accommodate our human weakness. But the principle is the same. Everything is in this book. Look in Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, front and back, every word, every page filled. No room for anything else. Everything that was, is, and will be is contained in this book. Sealed with seven seals. Now, this includes everything. Now, while you're in Revelation, turn to Revelation 13. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, this beast. This is not talking about worshiping the Lord, but the beast and the false prophet. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, this book of life is part of this book we read of that's front page, back page, completely filled that nothing can be added to. The names that are not written in this book will worship the beast and perish eternally, but not the ones whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, I want you to think about that. This concept goes so far beyond us. It's so glorious. Christ is the Lamb slain before time began. In eternity past, the Lamb slain was the subject of praise. God's purpose has always been for His Son, God the Lamb, to be slain. Before there was ever a sinner, there was a Savior who accomplished salvation before time began. Now, from this verse of Scripture, we see that the entire universe was created so the Lamb could be slain. Now, chew on that for just a second. I know we can't completely grasp it, but this universe was created to be the arena where the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world would be slain in time. And God is manifesting who He is through the Lamb slain. Look in Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Everybody's going to go bad. Everybody's going to worship this beast whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, turn to Luke chapter 10. I want you to look at these scriptures with me because I want to see how big this subject is in the scriptures. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And the 70 the Lord sent out to preach the gospel, returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now put yourself in their place. They could see someone possessed with a devil and they could tell him to get out and he would have to leave. They were given such power. Now, verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as a lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. This is a command. In this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice. Why? Because your names are written in heaven, inscribed in the Lamb's book of life. No, don't rejoice in these things I'm enabling you to do. You rejoice in this, that your names are written in heaven. When the writer to the Hebrews is describing the church in heaven, he calls it the general assembly and the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. Now, here's the church role I want to be on. You know, we don't have a, quote, church role. I don't see any point in it. I don't see where it's scriptural. If you believe, you're a member. If you don't believe, you're not. It's that simple. But people have church rolls, and I think it's interesting. These churches have these church rolls, and every now and then they'll have to clean them out. Remove members, get rid of them. They're not there anymore. They don't believe. So we have to adjust this church roll. Sometimes it gets bigger, sometimes it gets smaller. This one always stays the same. It always stays the same. You know, one of the things I love about the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, you see churches advertise, come grow with us. This is the church that never grows. It's perfect. It can't be added to. It can't be diminished. The General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. Paul, in writing to the Philippians, said in Philippians 4:3 of certain individuals, he said, whose names are written in the book of life. Now, Paul, how do you know? Do you have access to the book of life? No, Paul never had access to the book of life, neither do me or you. I've often thought I'd like to have access to it. I know whose name I'd be looking for first, and you'd be the same. We'd try to find out if we're in it. But Paul, this is very similar. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. How, Paul? For our gospel came not to you in word only, but in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Now understand this. That's not talking about assurance of your personal salvation. That's talking about assurance that this is the gospel of God. Not assurance that you're saved, but assurance that this is the gospel of God and this is the gospel that you believe. Another couple of scriptures in Revelation. Turn to Revelation 21. All of these books are contained in the book we read about, written on both sides of the page. Nothing can be added. Nothing can be taken away. Sealed with seven seals. Look in Revelation 21, verse 27. This is talking about entrance into heaven. And there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now turn back to Revelation 20. And this is such an important and an interesting passage of Scripture. If you want to understand the gospel, I believe this will be a blessing to you. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne. This is speaking of judgment day. There is a day when God is going to judge the world. That day is coming. This great white throne. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, those dead in sins, stand before God, and the books, plural, were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead won't be judged from this book. The living will be judged from this book. The book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is to the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now we read of books and the book in this passage of Scripture. Now, the books have every work of every unbeliever. Every sin they've ever committed. You say, how could there be a book that thick? I don't know. But it is true that there is a somehow in heaven a book that records every sin ever committed. And everybody that's judged out of these books shall be judged precisely according to their works, with strict, impartial justice. They will be given exactly what they deserve. Now, quite often when people hear the gospel of God's discriminating grace, and I use that word purposely, that's a discrimination among men is awful. It's evil. It's sinful. But the only way anybody will be saved is if God discriminates, if God makes a difference. If he gives all of us what we deserve, he'll send us all to hell. But the only way any of us will be saved is for him to make us to differ. Who makes you to differ from another? And what do you have that you didn't receive? Now, Lord, give me your discriminating grace. Do something for me. I'm not talking about being indifferent about what happens to everybody else, but Lord, save me. Do something for me. Now, when people hear of God's discriminating grace, and I like using that word, it's who distinguishes ye thee from another. That's what the word means. Now, let me repeat. Any kind of discrimination that goes on between humans is evil. It's wrong. It's sin. But the only hope you and I have is for God to have discriminating grace, for him to do something for you that perhaps he hadn't done for everybody else. Now, when people hear about that, they bristle. They think, my rights have been violated. I mean, I'm not getting, it's not fair for God to do something for somebody that he's not doing for me. Please remember, fair is hell. If God sends this sinner talking to you to hell, it will praise and glorify his justice. And the same is true of you. Fair is hell. What about this book? The books were judged strictly according to our works. What about this book? Remember, this is the book of the Lamb slain from the very foundation of the world. Now, why was he slain? There's only one reason he was slain: because of sin. The sin of God's elect, all the sins of God's elect were made to meet on him. He bore them, and he did this before the foundation of the world. God did this to glorify himself. Somehow God's glory is connected with human sin and salvation from that sin. Now, that's what the scripture teaches. It's high, it's holy, it's glorious, it's true. Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and that sin became his sin. If your name is written in that book, the very sins you've committed this day, yesterday, became his sin, so that he actually became guilty of it. And the justice of God demanded his execution. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He became guilty of the sins of all the elect. No, he never committed a sin in his person. That's blasphemy. He never committed a sin. But this is can't understand it. It's worse. He was made sin. And the wrath of God came down upon him. That's why he died. God forsook him. But just as truly as my sin became his personal sin. Somebody says, how can you use language like that? Because the Psalms does. My sin. How often in the Psalms does the Lord say, my sin? As a heavy burden is too heavy for me. Mine iniquities are more than the hairs of my head. That's the Lord speaking as the representative of his people. My sin literally became his sin. He died under God's wrath, And just as truly as my sin became his personal sin. Do I understand that? Can I bring all that together to make it make sense? No. It's just what God has done in the Scripture. But just as truly as my sin became his sin, his righteousness, his perfect obedience becomes my personal righteousness. Now listen real carefully. Two books. One, you're judged according to your works. And there's another book where your works can be judged as perfect. Remember that scripture in John chapter 5 where the Lord talked about they that have done good unto the resurrection of life and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation? Talk about the same things, but they that have done good. If Christ is your righteousness before God, it doesn't say they that have Christ's righteousness is imputed to them. It says they that have done good. If you're in this book, you've done good. You're perfect. You've never sinned. You're righteous before God. You have perfection before God. Now, with regard to these two books, listen to this. Which one would you rather be judged by? God will meet you on the ground that you want. I can say this to anybody. Somebody says, "Can't you? How can you preach the gospel to all men if not everybody's written in this book? How can you honestly, sincerely, passionately, compassionately preach the gospel to all men if everybody's not written in this book?" I can say this with complete honesty and sincerity and know it's so. God will meet you on the ground you want. If you want to be met on the basis of this book of life, God will meet you there. If you want to stand before God in your own works, God will meet you there. Now, it's not going to be determined on that day which book you want to be judged from, but right now. Right now. Which book do you want to be judged from? If you really believe that you don't have anything but sin that you can call your own, it's a no-brainer. You want to be judged from the book of life. And if you think that you have any goodness whatsoever, you're going to have to stand in the books that will be opened. Now, this is the gospel, and God will meet you wherever you want to meet him. If you want to meet him on this ground of your works, he'll meet you there. If you want to meet him on the ground of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, he'll meet you there. Now, God's justice and righteousness demands the condemnation of those judged in the books. Likewise, the justice and righteousness of God demands the salvation of everybody in the book of life because of the Lamb of God. Now, when Christ said, "Lo, I come," in the volume of the book, it's written of me, he's talking about the book spoken of by John in Revelation 5. This was written way before the Scriptures were ever written. When he said, "Lo, I come," in the volume of the book, it's written of me, O God. What about Moses? Moses is praying for the children of Israel, and he's asking for their forgiveness. They've made that golden calf, and he's asking for the Lord's mercy on them and to do something for them. And all of a sudden, he stops there in Genesis 32, and he says, "If you won't forgive them, I pray that you'll blot my name out of the book that you've written." Well, thank God that can't be done. Moses loved these people, and I admire him, and I wish me and you, I wish I would have the same love for people where I would say something like that Moses did. You know, Moses really is a type The Lord was willing to be blotted out. Moses couldn't be. The Lord was blotted out for his people. He did experience all the wrath of God. Psalm 139, verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book were my members written, when in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. Now that's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I realize that. But that's us too. Our names, our members, everything about us, our DNA, everything about us was written in that book. Now, without doubt, Daniel says everybody's going to be delivered whose name is written in the book. That book also includes all of God's decrees. And it's summarized by this glorious statement, and we know that all things are already written in this book. All things. You know, every day we're just going to find out what God has decreed. I love that. Every day we're just finding out what God has decreed. Everything that takes place. And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. It's all written in the book. And how can we know this without this book, the Scriptures? How can we know that there's a book of life, that of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world? How could we know that everything's working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose? How could we know this without this written book? And I'll have no doubt that every word of this written book is contained in that book that no man was worthy to open, but Christ came and took and opened the seals thereof and made it known. Now turn with me to this, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul's speaking to Timothy, and he says in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now what a blessing. Some of us can say that. From a child we've known the Holy Scriptures. That doesn't mean you were saved, but what a blessing this is. From a child you were raised up hearing the gospel, hearing the Scriptures, where the Scriptures were honored. I think of the honor the Lord put on the Scriptures. When the devil came to tempt him, he could have destroyed him. He could have tortured him. He could have done anything with him. But how did he handle the temptations of the devil? All three times, it is written. That's the honor the Lord put on the Scriptures. It is written. Now let's go on reading 2 Timothy chapter 3. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now this is the purpose of the Scripture. It's to make you wise unto salvation. And what is that wisdom of salvation? It's through faith in Christ, believing Him, resting Him, relying on Him as your salvation before God. Now, if you do that, you've been made wise in salvation. And I love the way the Scripture, right as soon as the fall, we're given the story of Cain and Abel. And we find out what true wisdom is. Abel comes into God's presence with the sacrifice that pointed to the coming sacrifice that God would accept. There's wisdom. Cain comes on his own, bringing as a sacrifice that God never commanded in the first place, thinking God would accept this. I accept it, surely God would. No, He won't. He demonstrates foolishness. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, literally God breathed. Every word directly inspired by God. Yes, 40 different men wrote the Bible over a period of over 1,500 years. And you can see their personality coming out. There's a big difference between Peter and Paul, isn't there? There's a big difference between John and James. I mean, their personalities just exude from everything that was written. Every word verbally inspired by God. Said exactly as He would have it said. The Old Testament, written in Hebrew, the New Testament, written in Greek, is the full and final revelation of God. I love what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, when that which is perfect has come. What do you got that's perfect? The Bible. When that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away with. Now, if God has the power to create the universe from nothing, He has the power to inspire men to write this book and keep it preserved forever. It's not difficult for Him. You know, people struggle with the inspiration. You know, I don't struggle with inspiration at all. I read this book and I know God wrote it. A man couldn't write this book. It's so glorious. It's so glorifying to God. It gives a salvation that no man could come up with. How God can be just and justify the ungodly. Now, this written word has one message. When Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, it wasn't that he determined, I'm going to make this my goal and I'm just going to overlook all these other things. He was saying, this is the only message. This entire book has this one message, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Look in Luke chapter 24. Verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Kind of sounds like me. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Was there not a necessity of it? He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And to enter into His glory, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. Look in verse 44 of the same chapter. And He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. He is the meaning of every Scripture. And let me read this to you. You don't have to turn there, but I want to read to you John 20, beginning in verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. Everything that was written for this purpose, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. This is why this was written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In the believing, you might have life through His name. Now, I want me and I want you to have the attitude of the noble Bereans. The Scripture says regarding the Bereans, these were more noble than they of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, searching the Scriptures daily whether these things be so. You know, I disagree with all creeds. I disagree with all confessions. Now, I know There's a lot of men who can bring a message and say, well, that's foolish. You need creed, you need confessions, you need documents to kind of protect the church and show what we believe. We got the Bible. We got the Bible. But the Bible's a big book. It has so much to say, that's true, but it's only got one subject. One subject, the Lord Jesus Christ. I disagree with all denominations. They're not found in the Bible. With all denominational distinctives, we've got the book. We've got the book. If somebody comes in with some kind of radical message, like men are completely evil, radical, completely evil, well, we've got the book to find out what they're saying so. It is written. It is written. There's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way. They've together become an unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. We've got the Scripture to see if someone's telling the truth. When I hear of a Christ that doesn't line up with the Christ this book represents and pictures, I know it's a false Christ. Aren't you thankful for this book that tells us about the Lamb's Book of Life? That tells us about being judged from that book? I wouldn't want it any other way. Now, in closing, the book spoken of in Daniel 12 and all these other scriptures lets us know that God is God. Everything that was, is, and will be has already been done according to that book. God controls everything. And when we talk about the sovereignty of God, we're talking about absolute sovereignty. Everything that happens in time, I don't care what it is, everything that happens in time, everything that happens in your life. Do you know the reason you're here tonight is because it was determined by God in this book for you to be here. And there's no way you wouldn't have been here. What if I got sick? If you're here, it was determined you'd be here. God is God. And this book is a reminder to us. This book of life, this written scriptures, the book sealed with seven seals written on both sides, this book that the believer is to be judged by, the one book as opposed to many books, it's a reminder to us that salvation can't be by works in any way. My salvation was accomplished in the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I've always been in Him, and where do my works come in there? They don't at all. The universe, this book, reminds us that the universe was created to display the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world and the complete salvation that's in Him. And I pray that God will give me and you the grace to be happy about this. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Let's pray together. Lord, how we thank You for the book of life. Lord, we know that we would go away from You and would have no interest in Your Son or Your salvation if our names were not written in this glorious book. How we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ and the complete salvation that is in the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Lord, teach us to glory in His cross. Enable us to love Him more, love one another more. And Lord, teach us and enable us to preach Your gospel, the gospel of the Lamb, in this generation. Bless us for the Lord's sake. In his name we pray. Amen.